Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
Welcome back to Double Play. I am Chris Clever here with Brandon Walker, and of course, Double Play, we talk about the best and worst of sports movies.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Double Play, where we talk about the best and the worst of sports movies. This weekend, we have...
This weekend?
Is this not a weekend?
Usually it comes out on Wednesdays.
This week, we have... baseball for you. We're back in baseball. It's baseball season, so why not? Two of the
most
opposite movies ever made, even though they were made in the same franchise.
This is a pretty big, I mean, most of what we do is a pretty big dichotomy, but
I don't know if there's another franchise in movie history that has a bigger gap between the quality of its best movie and the quality of its worst movie, other than maybe Caddyshack, which we will get to later.
Yeah, I think next week.
But Major League and Major League Back to the Minors are our two movies.
Right.
Now, think about that for a second before we get into everything.
Okay.
In movies, is there a bigger gap? Forget sports movies. Mm-hmm. Is there a bigger gap between the quality of the best in a movie in a franchise and the worst?
Actually, I can do a sports one for you.
What's that?
Rocky 1, Rocky 5.
I don't know that Rocky 5 certainly isn't as bad as this.
Rocky 5 is terrible.
Rocky 5 is not as bad as this.
But Rocky's better than this.
Fair enough. Well, this is my favorite sports movie of all time. That's when you get into the argument of what you love versus what quality-wise. You know, Rocky was like a Best Picture nominee,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Best Picture winner.
Yeah, Best Picture winner. So, obviously, this wasn't a Best Picture winner.
Right.
So, objectively, the quality is, everybody acknowledges Rocky. But this is my favorite sports movie they ever made. This is my favorite sports movie ever. This is in the mix for my favorite movie ever made.
Yeah, it's...
Why are you making that face? It can be my favorite movie.
You can be yours, and I can make a face, and I can disagree with you.
But last week, we did Field of Dreams, mm-hmm. and you said that was your favorite sports movie.
Right.
I didn't make any faces.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't. That's the right opinion to have.
It's not the right opinion that this is an incredible movie.
No, it's very good. I'm not going to knock you at all for this. Major League is a fantastic comedy. It holds up remarkably well, considering it was made in the 80s. Pacing's great. Characters are great. Just a fun movie to watch. It's just a real enjoyable movie.
Top 10 comedies of the 80s. Go.
Oof, I don't know about top 10, but this is certainly in there.
Not in order. This is in there. Coming to America is in there, maybe?
Yep. I put Beverly Hills Cop in there.
Yeah,
that
I certainly
up really
would
well.
As well.
It's funny. 48 Hours does not hold up. I'm talking to Eddie Murphy. 48
yeah.
Hours is
Does
slow
Trading Places
people.
Hold up?
I didn't like it as much
okay, I
when,
didn't
I,
either.
When I
didn't
rewatched
either.
It.
Coming to America for sure.
I mean, it's tough. You had a lot of hybrids. So, like, do you consider Back to the Future a comedy?
Yeah, it's comedy adjacent, right?
Yeah, I guess Gremlins a comedy.
Oh, okay, so 1980 is the 80s, right? So Caddyshack and Airplane were both in 1980.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
those two both have to be in
those
there.
Both count.
Yeah. Tell me about their, like, Bill Murray movies. Yeah,
let me read off some of the ones off movie rankings. Caddyshack, Airplane, Spinal Tap, Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas Vacation and Vacation.
Oh, I would agree with Christmas Vacation.
And European Vacation's in there. I wouldn't put it in the top 10. It's a very good movie.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Fantastic. I like that movie a lot.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Really? That one's got that high of a
yeah. Christmas Story? That's gross that that's
that. That shouldn't
that's
be
not
on
a good movie.
That's higher than Major League, which is up next.
That's insane.
Monty Python's Meaning of Life. The Goonies. History of the World Part 1.
Yeah, see, I'm out on all
You know
these.
What I put it in
a
my...
A Fish Called Wanda.
You know what might crack my top 10? Money Pit. It makes me laugh every time
I like
see
the
it.
Money Pit. That is my answer to that question.
Yes.
That's the Family Guy.
Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah.
It insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself.
What does that even mean?
Yes.
Yeah. fine actor. Fine actor. I love that. That's one of my favorite.
But to go back to the Family Guy.
The language they're speaking is a language of subtlety, something you wouldn't know anything about.
The Godfather. Godfather 1 and Godfather 3 have a huge separation as well.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And, well, even you could argue Godfather 2 is right there with 1, right? So,
yes.
And then Godfather 3 falls off. Yeah.
I don't consider that with this. I think Major League is exceptional. And then you have Major League 2, which is not a good movie at all.
Yeah.
And Major League 3 is just awful.
Well, Major League 2 is like, let's say me and you recorded a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded it, and it went well, and then we just, it didn't record or it got corrupted. And then we just came back the next week.
That sounds crazy.
And just tried to do everything by memory.
That would never happen.
Well, and that's what Major League 2 was.
Yes.
They just did everything in Major League 1, just did it a little bit worse.
Yeah. And also the rating. I think the rating killed it.
But that
going
was
from R to PG.
So this came out in 1989. Major League did. Major League 2 came out in 94.
I believe so.
Yeah, and then, I'm not guessing. And then Major League Back to the Minors came out in 1998.
Right.
I don't know what happened between 1994 and 98, because while Major League 2,
Major 2 sucks,
is not good, it ain't this.
No.
This is one of the worst movies ever made about sports.
I don't know. Ed?
We have talked about Ed on the show. Again, Ed never had a chance. This came from a franchise that had delivered before. This came from a farm system.
Yes, right.
This came
you
from...
You had a universe that had been successful.
This had roots in one of the iconic baseball movies of all time. And it turned into this? It turned into Major League Back to the Minors?
Yeah.
It's like starting with Brandon Walker and ending up with... Do you see where the joke is going?
A very nice joke.
No, it's a very mean joke.
Well, I know. Agreed.
Yeah.
It is. Can I just point out? Can I just say one thing?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, it's not anything about the producer or anything like that. I feel like the camera should move up a little bit. The camera's showing the cup holder on the desk, but it's not showing the full logos on the back of the. Yeah.
Look at that, huh?
Yeah.
That's technology.
Yeah.
Down there.
Huh?
Now you look like a little person.
That's fine. You look hilarious in that seat. You look like, it looks like a couch when you sit in.
I know, like, why?
you have half an ass.
I have a full ass. It's just small.
Okay, so this week we're talking about Major League and Major League Back to the Minors.
Right.
All right, so we start with Major League, correct?
Yes, we do.
I will start there. This is my...
very, very casual conversation. This is often how people talk.
This is, again, my favorite sports movie, my favorite baseball movie. And along with That Thing You Do and Best in Show, it is my favorite movie ever made.
Yeah, I'm noticing, I've been thinking about this a little bit, because I think it's kind of a stupid statement, but it's fine. But I noticed you have a predilection toward camaraderie in movies.
Why is it a stupid statement for me to tell you what my favorite movies are?
Because those aren't the right movies to like.
This isn't a one size fits all. This isn't. Oh well, then,
I can disagree with your opinion.
Their favorite movie is The Godfather. Should say their favorite movie is Goodfellas. Yeah. Everybody should say their favorite movie is the same thing.
Well, if everyone, no. I'm just giving you a hard time, making fun of you. You just made fun of me.
What's
for
your
having
favorite movie
ass?
Ever made?
The Godfather.
What's your second favorite movie ever made?
Might be Goodfellas, but it might be It's a Wonderful Life.
Do you like enjoy having fun?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Those are fun. What's not fun about that?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is fun.
Certainly fun, yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life opens with a man trying to kill himself.
It does. Mm-hmm. It is. But it ends with the message about how great friendship is. Brandon wouldn't know about that, but like real great friendship and kindness to others. It's a great message.
I like Major League.
Yeah.
I like Best in Show.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. But I will say, though.
Do you like Best in Show?
It's good.
Terrific movie.
It's good. Funny, yeah.
Do you like Best in Show?
Yeah. It's when.
Yeah.
What's Your Face wasn't annoying yet. Jennifer Coolidge.
Okay. And then That Thing You Do, which I'm okay being out on an island by myself on that one. I love that movie.
There's some charming things about
that
movie.
I like That Thing You Do better than Best in Show.
I don't give a fuck what you like ever.
Okay.
I didn't even ask
Never
you.
Never mind. Your movies stink.
I didn't even ask you.
No, but you do like movies about camaraderie, and I think that's what Major League does really well. That clubhouse, it feels like guys hanging out. Like you have, especially that steakhouse scene, you have Berenger and Charlie Sheen, both coming off an Academy Award winning movie in Platoon.
They had been together, yeah.
You could feel that chemistry. They, I don't know, chemistry isn't the right word, but even like just a, I don't know, like they felt like they had known each other for a long time. That connection was there, it was present, it was real. Wesley Snipes fits right in with that group. It just, and even the whole clubhouse with Corbin Burnson, it just feels so organic.
Well,
it feels real.
The characters, even though they might be a little bit, what's the word? Stereotypical, of course. They fit together.
They do.
Let me say this. We're going to have segments this week. Here's the first segment. What this movie got right, okay? Everything I'm about to say is what this movie
got
right.
Got a lot right.
number one thing they got right is the casting is perfect. It is perfection. If you've never seen Major League, it's about a down in the dumps Cleveland Indians team in 1989, hadn't won the World Series since 1948. They were planning to be so bad, the owner was going to move the team to Miami. She put together a team of misfits, right?
Kind of like the Oakland A's.
Right. Very, very similar to what we're seeing now. But the casting, all the way down to every character on the baseball team. Tom Berenger as the grizzled old catcher trying to go one more time in the sun.
Perfect glue guy.
Fantastic. Wesley Snipes as the up-and-coming hotshot center fielder.
Tons of charisma.
Charlie Sheen before, you know, really when Charlie Sheen was just throwing heaters every time out.
Wall Street, Platoon, this movie, 8 Men Out. Like, Charlie Sheen was just movie after good movie. Not just hits, but good movies.
Charlie Sheen was just firing on all cylinders. But even past the stars, Corbin Burnson as the dickhead third baseman.
Roger Dorn.
Who's a diva.
Perfect.
Chelsea Ross as the as Eddie Harris, the veteran pitcher that doesn't have an arm, so he cheats. Dennis Haysbert as Pedro Serrano. James Gammon, to me, is the greatest fictional coach of all time. He is Lou Brown.
He feels like like if you ever opened like a 1989, 1988, 87 Tops, you had a manager card.
Yeah.
It looks like James Gammon could be on that card. James Gammon. He looks like a manager.
He played Lou Brown in the movie. Lou Brown is the manager, and he is perfection. It doesn't feel like an actor playing a manager. It feels like they went out and got a baseball manager and said, here, that's what they did. Now, Bob Uecker as Harry Doyle. Bob Uecker is a baseball announcer. Bob Uecker is a personality. Bob Uecker is a comedian that has a microphone in baseball. And that's what he played in this movie. And it was perfect.
They got lucky with Uecker. So Uecker had obviously been the voice of the Brewers for many years. He kind of still is. He'll still do some games. He's in his late 80s now.
Yeah.
But he had appeared in the 80s on a sitcom called Mr. Belvedere, where a butler comes to this basically middle-class family in Pittsburgh. And the butler is very British and proper, and hilarity ensues. But I think to get an actor that was also a baseball guy that could be very funny is a tough, that's almost impossible task.
Bob Uecker was everywhere in the late 80s, right? He was doing beer commercials. He was doing commentary on WrestleMania. Like, he was on Mr. Belvedere. Like, he was, I don't know if he was ever a mainstream star, but he was star adjacent. Like, he was a thing, right?
He's a great announcer. He's very funny in, like, real life, too.
He's naturally funny.
Yes.
There's nothing forced about him.
He improvised a ton of these lines in this movie.
Great. I think if you're talking about Major League and what makes it work and what they got right, I think Harry Doyle is probably the glue that holds the whole thing together. And we don't meet Harry Doyle, the announcer, until like 40 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, like the second act of the movie.
We don't meet him until 40 minutes in. Opening day, because the movie starts as they're getting ready for spring training. Mm-hmm. Then we have probably 20 minutes in spring training.
Yeah, we'll establish those characters.
And then on opening day, we finally meet Harry Doyle. And then he guides us through the rest of the season. And he's so fucking funny.
Think about how dry those baseball scenes would be if you didn't have Harry Doyle in the back.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Like, people say that now.
But all the lines, almost all of them are funny.
Yeah.
There's very few misses.
Yeah. That's all we got. One goddamn hit. You can't say goddamn on the radio. Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway. Like, I love Harry Doyle is the perfect. And his, as he goes through this movie, right? He starts off, he's I think he's wearing a tank top. Like he's not wearing much by the end. He's living the moment, and he's really bombastic and everything. I don't know. Bob Uecker, they got perfect. James Gammon, they got perfect. The casting in this movie is everything. It makes it.
It does.
Like Bull Durham, for example. When you watch Tim Robbins pitch, you have to be like, well, he's a great actor.
Yes.
But you watch Charlie Sheen pitch. Yeah. You're like, he's throwing the fuck out of that ball.
Well, Charlie Sheen was thrown in the 70s. And then for this movie, he says he took steroids. And he got up to 85, 88 at times. Yeah. So Charlie Sheen was always a pretty good pitcher. I mean, hitting the high 70s is hard to do. When you get into the 80s because you're using steroids, that's a commitment to the role.
Yeah, and number two that this movie got right, the baseball looks like baseball.
Yeah.
All the extras, I think all the Yankees were actual baseball players. Clue Haywood, who is the main protagonist or antagonist. What is it?
Antagonist.
The main antagonist on the other team, the big first baseman, he was played by Pete Vukovich.
Right.
Cy Young winner in 1982 for the Brewers. And when he hits home runs in this movie, he looks like he's hitting home runs.
Oh yeah,
that's not a camera trick.
No,
the baseball is right. And
Steve Yeager was a consultant. He's the third base coach. Steve Yeager, longtime Dodger. So yeah. They really tried hard, especially in this first movie, to get the baseball right. And it feels right. It feels
well. Behringer swings like a 39-year-old catcher.
And he looks like a 39-year-old. He looks another guy coming right of a baseball card. Yeah. He looks like catchers looked in the late 80s.
Dennis Haysbert, who played Pedro Serrano, looks like a swashbuckling Cuban slugger. I think Corbin Burnson looks like a ball player when he's playing third. He doesn't look out of place.
Not at all. And he's like, you know, that's supposed to be a prima donna third baseman. It all feels right. Like that goes to the script. Talking about another thing the movie to write. The script is very good by David S. Ward.
It's funny and it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not slapstick funny.
No.
It's just clubhouse funny.
Yes.
Which is a unique brand of humor to sports.
It's also really hard to pull off. You have to believe that these guys.
Well, you have to have been in a clubhouse. Somebody who wrote this movie had to have been in a clubhouse.
Well, David S. Ward's a longtime Cleveland Indians fan. He wrote The Sting back in the early 70s, and then he tried to write this Western. It never got done, and then he was kind of out of Hollywood. And then he wrote the Milagro Beanfield War for Robert Redford, which he directed in the 80s, and that got him enough money to write and direct Major League.
Well, thank God for Milagro Beanfield War.
That's right.
Did you just make that up?
I did not. That is a real movie that came out in the 80s, directed by Robert Redford.
But so I don't know what his writing – I don't know what his writing style was before, but just
– He also wrote Sleepless in Seattle after this.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, why not? Why not? It's interesting.
He went from this to Sleepless in
Seattle?
That's
what I'm saying. So you don't give a shit. See,
why are you yelling?
Because I just caught you in you being disinterested for no reason. Your reflex is
anyway,
negative.
What I'm saying about his writing in this movie is there's just such a clubhouse influence. Like – when Eddie Harris drinks Joe Boo's rum and he's walking on the field and says, "Yo, bartender, Joe Boo needs a refill." Like, that's just a thing assholes would do to each other. That's just, and then I all the pranks they play in spring training, Dorn, the way he talks to Ricky Vaughn at first, calling him Veghead, like, it just feels right. This movie captures every essence of a baseball season, too, which I don't know. And the first time we did this, I don't know that I brought this up. But when they get to spring training, right, it's just a collection of assholes. It's just a collection of players that might have some talent. And Lou Brown's sitting – it's just beautifully shot. They're in Arizona, right? Now he's sitting out there with his feet up against the chain link fence and watching all the players come in. And, you know, my kind of team, Charlie, my kind of team. It's just – it gets that desperation of spring training, the young guys trying to make the team and making the team, the showing up to regular season, and, oh, shit, the Yankees beat the fuck out of us. We're not any good at all. And – everything about the baseball, not just the on the field skills,
no,
but the way the GM walks, Charlie Donovan is the GM. The way he walks with his jacket over his shoulder, like everything about
he looks like Lou Gorman, who was the GM of the Red Sox in the late 80s. He doesn't look like a GM now, but in the 80s, that's what GMs.
That's what GMs.
Like.
They had the arm tattoo because they were in the war.
Yep.
You know, It has such fantastic attention to detail. You think, oh, it's a comedy. It is a comedy. It's also very true to life baseball.
I think it helps having the R rating. So if a movie says fuck twice, it has to be rated R. So even a PG-13 movie, you say fuck
twice. Did you look up how many fucks are in this movie?
I have not. Ton.
I'm guessing 75.
Yeah, I might even take the over on that. It's a ton. But that's how those guys talk. So when you watch Major League 2 or Major League Back to the Minors, when it has the PG rating, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. In fact, I think you noticed it in the spring training fight when Dorn and Vaughn are going fighting each other. And Dorn's like, "Rookie, fuckwad, can't take a fucking joke." That's how they would talk in the locker room.
Yes.
That's how, real fucking funny, asshole. So yeah, a PG rating in a baseball movie, if you're really showing the guts of a baseball team, you can't do it.
No.
It
takes away, especially when you already know these characters talk like that, to watch them in part two when it's the same people just like said dignified.
Fiddlesticks, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, it drops off from part one to part two. Now, I was 10 years old when this came out. So that means you were, what, 17, 18?
That means I was 9. You're older than I am by about 7 months.
Well, jokes on. When did this come out? I remember this. This movie, mm-hmm. Field of Dreams, and this movie. This is a remarkable fact, and I know you weren't here for the last time. Field of Dreams and Major League to me are two top three baseball movies of all time.
I think that's pretty natural consensus.
Field of Dreams came out April 7th, 1989. This movie came out April 21st, 1989. Within 2 weeks of each other, these two movies came out.
Right.
That is unbelievable. We had them both at the same goddamn time. You could have gone on opening night of Major League, watched it, not been tired, gone back, got a ticket, and watched Field of Dreams in the theater at the same time. That's stunning to me.
And then, a year earlier was Bull Durham.
Bull Durham was another one earlier. Eight Men Out was a year earlier. It was a
crazy run.
It was a golden time for baseball movies. But the fact that two of the top three were in the movie theaters at the exact same time. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm reading a book by Ron Shelton called The Church of Baseball.
Now, Bull Durham also did Cobb.
Did Tin Cup as well.
That's right.
But anyway, Ron Shelton, the director of Bull Durham, when he was putting the Bull Durham cast together, his want for Ebbie Calvin Nuke LaLoosh, his top desire was Charlie Sheen.
I think that would have really worked.
Charlie Sheen as Ebbie Calvin Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham would have been better than Tim Robbins. And Tim Robbins is a great actor.
I agree.
But Bull Durham would have been better with Charlie Sheen, but this movie would have been much worse.
That's what I mean. So then who plays? Because then Charlie Sheen would
certainly
have done
isn't this. Tim Robbins.
No.
I don't know who you get.
And I think
do you get Emilio Estevez? Like, do you get Kiefer Sutherland? Do you get one of that group?
I mean, Kiefer, that's actually not a bad.
Yeah, because that was the group back then,
yeah,
right?
It was. Absolutely.
You get Lou Diamond Phillips, like one of those guys?
You're going through all the Cassie Young guns?
Yeah, okay. That's who it is.
I know.
But yeah, it could have been one of those guys.
Yeah. I agree. And I think I'm happy with how it all worked out. I think Charlie Sheen's
I am also
here.
Happy with how it worked out. Cause this again, my favorite movie. But I can't help but wonder what Bull Durham would have been like with Charlie Sheen. Cause that's just so much better.
Now, one thing people don't like about this movie is the Rene Russo stuff. I don't hate it as much. I think, for instance, the scene when he goes to he thinks is her apartment. It's her boyfriend's apartment. And Tom Berenger's having this awkward conversation with people there. I think that scene's great.
Well, it's a scene setter, right? It shows that nobody in Cleveland respects him.
Right.
And he's out of his depth being with the rich and the hoity-toity. And that's not – I think that's a uniquely – like that era of baseball is gone. There are no common man baseball players anymore, right? I guess even guys making the league minimum now are very, very well off.
I think it's $700,000 a year.
Right. Back then,
it was $100,000 a year.
$700,000. I'm making twice what the major league minimum is.
If you say so.
$350,000 is twice what the major league minimum is, right?
You're making twice what the major league minimum? That's half.
Oh, I see. I thought that was the same thing.
No.
Where are we at?
I don't think the Rene Russo stuff is that bad.
Rene Russo.
And she also does has a good performance here. It's her first movie.
Yeah, she's hot as fuck, too.
That's true.
She plays Lynn Westlake, Jake's girlfriend, used to be fiance, and he ends up winning her back. Now, the only thing is, she's only really in the movie maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Not a lot.
She's not, but she's there to humanize Jake off the field.
Exactly.
And give somebody something to hold on to because nobody else has that. He's the only one with an off the field. Really, like other than Roger Dorn, we see Roger Dorn's wife.
Yeah, right.
We never see anybody else in Ricky Vaughn's life or Willie Mays Hayes' life or Pedro Serrano's life. But we do see Jake Taylor's life. And the only thing I don't like about it is at the very end, after they've beaten the Yankees, spoiler alert, they beat the Yankees at the end. And she is in the very last scene of the movie. They do the pile up and he grabs her and she's the centerpiece of the team celebration. That was weird. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah, but if you just tell it's just one picture.
What was that noise?
It was it was like a half a
green. Ridiculous noise.
It's a half a green. Yeah.
Sometimes you sound like a tea kettle.
Yeah, you.
I think Nick Turani made that already. Yeah. You stealing his material? You gonna pay him royalties for that one?
Pointed it out. I can't. Stop
I mean, if you're gonna steal somebody's material, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
Yeah, wow. I've never liked him either. But let me do some more segments.
Okay.
Who's the MVP of this movie? Think about that.
Oh, it's Tom Berenger.
You think it's Berenger?
I do. Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. He's the glue of this movie, holds it together. When we did this the first time, we talked about Cheers and how he was on that for a couple episodes. And he had such a tough guy, if you will, you know, what his career kind of later became. He had a big heart. He was he could play soft, people you care about that also were a catcher.
When you look back,
he's a man's man, but also had a heart. I don't know.
When you look back at the 80s,
yeah,
people don't remember Tom Berenger as good as they should.
You know, guy's in Platoon, he was huge, which wins Best Picture.
Yeah,
he's in this.
Yeah,
he was he's in Big Chill.
Yeah,
like he was a big movie star of the 80s, and you're absolutely right. He's been forgotten about.
Yeah, he's been forgotten about. Like, what's he doing now? Is he still acting?
He was in these movies, was a sniper, and then he was in like a series of sequels after that, went straight to demand.
Yeah.
And you'll see him pop up now and then. I think he was in Dark Knight.
I feel like every white actor who enjoys success eventually gets a sniper series, gets a straight-to-video series where he's some sort of wronged Marine or something.
There's so many guys like John Cusack, obviously Bruce Willis for a while. There's so many actors that are on that track of just kind of doing these straight-to-video.
I don't know that Tom Berenger is the MVP of this movie. It's very hard to pick an MVP of this movie. I don't think it's nearly as good without Sheen.
No,
Sheen,
it's not.
Sheen is as Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn. Every 10-year-old baseball player in 1989 wanted to call himself the Wild Thing. Every 10-year-old baseball player wanted to be Ricky Vaughn.
Well, he was cool.
He was cool. I think Bob Uecker could be in conversation for it. Like, this movie's not, it's a comedy, right?
Well, the movie works really well in the first act. We don't see him.
Fair enough. Was it going to go an hour and 20 like that? This movie is a comedy.
Yes.
It's still a good baseball movie without Harry Doyle.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly as funny without Not nearly as funny without Harry Doyle. He really takes over the movie when he gets in there.
Yeah, it's no slam on Uecker. I feel like Tom Berenger is that movie. He carries that movie. He has all the emotional heavy lifting.
I don't think anybody carries the movie.
I think he does out of the group the most.
I think it's carried equally throughout by a lot of people.
It's a true ensemble movie. It really is. But like you said, that you made a good point. You're like, oh well, the only person we really see their backstory is Jake Taylor.
Yeah,
because that is really the emotional center of the movie, and it's him. And he does those scenes with Rene Russo, but then he's also doing the locker room scene. He has a lot of different.
Well, you know what? Now that you mention it, he has to carry. He is the guy that brings along the two rookies, Charlie Sheen and Wesley Snipes. He brings them along.
He's dealing with Dorn, kind of playing mediator.
Dealing with Dorn, he's the one that goes and tells Dorn to get off his fucking ass.
Yep.
At the end, before the last game, Pedro Serrano is going crazy. He's the one that orders the chicken,
the KFC.
Like he does. He's the heartbeat of the team, but is he the heartbeat of the movie?
I think
because he's the heartbeat of the team.
And I think that's something Tom Berenger was really good at, which other action stars maybe weren't as good, but for whatever reason, Berenger just didn't have that longevity.
Yeah. Well, he's not a good-looking guy.
I don't know. He's not?
Not when you think movie star good looks, right? I don't think he's got... Of course, I guess movie stars like Tom Hanks isn't a classically good-looking guy.
And think about movie stars at that time. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, he's obviously really strong, but he's not a handsome guy. Berenger's more handsome than he is.
Yeah. Well, I feel like movie stars evolved into being handsome or more handsome than they were in the 80s.
Maybe.
Bruce Willis not a great looking guy.
Bruce Willis is handsome.
Is Stallone a good looking guy? Those are the biggest movie stars of the 80s.
Well, see, Stallone and Schwarzenegger filled a gap. They were good looking for men because they were big and muscular and strong, right? But they weren't good looking for women. I don't think women would say, oh, that's a handsome man.
No, I'm guessing women might think Corbin Burnson is handsome. I don't know, maybe not.
Well, Corbin Burnson was
I think
was
so.
Not a bad
He's on
movie.
L.A. Law and everything. Was.
What are our other segments for this movie?
I don't know. I don't know if we had. Do we have? Oh, we were going to do our trade. We'll do that later. Oh, we'll Sixth Man we're going to do. I said that was going to be Harry Doyle for me.
Okay. The best Sixth Man of the movie is Harry Doyle?
Yeah.
I think it's Lou Brown. Lou Brown, the manager. You know, as much as Jake Taylor's the heart and soul of the team, Lou Brown is too. He's the kind of the guiding light. When he throws, you know, he's in spring training and everybody has a flaw in this movie, right? Every player has a flaw.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not wanted in baseball.
Right.
And Lou Brown is the guy that addresses every single one. Like when Jesus Christ, Dorn, get in front of the damn ball. And then he, you know, Ricky Vaughn's pitching. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. All of that. You may run like Mays, but you hit like shit. Like every, I love this goddamn movie.
It's a great
so
line.
Yeah, it's a great fucking line. Yeah. When Pedro Serrano is hitting batting practice and he hits two fastballs out, and then somebody says, "Hey, that's enough fastballs, aren't breaking balls," and he swings and misses, and Lou Brown just goes, "Oh," it's just fucking funny. Like it's just a baseball guy. So I think Lou Brown's a sixth man to me. Now, further question about this movie: would Major League? Every concept is the same. The showgirl owner inherits the team, wants to move it to Miami. does it work as well if this these are the Seattle Mariners or if they're not the Cleveland Indians? I feel like they got the city and the team exactly right for 1989.
Well, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but David S. Ward was a huge Cleveland Indians fan, so it feels real.
Would that be putting the cart before the horse?
Well, like, so is it the director?
That's the discussion we're having.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, is it direct? Fuck, ball okay. Me, motherfucker. Is it the director's vision being so clear because he's a Cleveland Indians fan that makes us enjoy this movie so much and feel Cleveland, the Randy Newman stuff at the beginning? David S. Ward knows Cleveland. But if we had a director that really knew Seattle, would we feel that same way about Seattle? That's what I mean by the cart before the horse. Is the director's vision clouding our judgment?
Is he the guy that wrote Sleepless in Seattle? Because that's kind of a weird connection.
It is.
No, I don't know, because Seattle at that point had been a team, what, 20 years?
No, not even a decade. 77. The Mariners. Mariners and Blue Jays both came
back. Okay, Seattle Pilots were 69 for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then they came back in 77. So right. About 12 years. So yeah, there's not enough history for Seattle
right.
At that point. Seattle wouldn't work. The Minnesota Twins wouldn't work.
They just won.
I think Cleveland was the perfect team. They got and the city, I gotta shout out Randy Newman. We haven't shouted out Randy Newman yet. Randy Newman sings the opening song. Burn on.
Which might be his best song. The credit sequence, just the pictures that David S. Ward uses to kind of show that credit sequence of Cleveland.
How gritty Cleveland is.
You feel like you're there. And you have the great Neil Flynn from Scrubs in there at the beginning. You just feel like you're instantly sucked in.
You feel like you are in a season of a team that's going to suck. And every sports fan knows the feeling of entering a season where your team's going to suck. And it sucks.
Yeah, I'm a Jets fan. I know it very well.
But then they build that excitement throughout. And at the end, Neil Flynn's character is in a bar for the last game, just hugging everybody he can. Like, we see that character three times. It's the beginning. Mm-hmm. They're shitty. The middle.
They're like, average.
These guys aren't so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And the end, he's hugging people because right. They're so excited. Like, what an effective character that is.
Yeah.
He's good.
You know what would be the cliched place to put this team?
Where?
If it had been, like, the Cubs.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cubs never,
they
or,
never
or
won.
The Red Sox. They never win.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Cleveland.
Red Sox would have been easy in 1989. You could have done that because they were still coming off
three
the
86 years off
series.
Buckner. Yeah.
But the fact that they did Cleveland works so much better because Red Sox pain was getting close and never quite getting there. Cleveland
right.
just never got
never
close.
Got, right.
Cleveland was just awful.
Yes.
And you could believe Cleveland would move to Miami. Isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Not in real life, but sure. You could believe
it. It's not that crazy. I mean, the Giants almost moved to Tampa a couple years later. It's not that crazy.
So, now, what does this movie get wrong? Because I love the movie. I want to know what you think. What does this movie get wrong?
Not much. It's just a taste thing, I think, at some point. Like, how much can you take from a comedy? How much do you value a comedy? I guess some of the Rene Russo stuff might, like you said, kind of some small nitpicks.
She's hot as hell, though.
She's very attractive. I don't hate it as much as some other people do. I don't know if this movie misses on too much. This is a very good comedy.
Do you like hot women?
I do, yes.
I thought you were asexual.
Nope, I'm married. And I'm
is that real?
It is real. I'm happily married, yes.
You got married in Israel?
No, not Israel.
Oh.
What?
So, sometimes he can't keep up. It's okay. What's my next question about Major League?
I don't know. What's the next segment you have? You say you have all these segments.
What do they get wrong? What do you think about the end where it's tied in the ninth? I just want to go through my favorite scenes of the movie, okay?
Okay.
Here are my favorite,
what they got wrong?
Here are my, I've decided to say my favorite scenes of the movie. My favorite scenes of the movie, first of all, the entirety of the introductory montage in spring training. When you first meet Serrano, first meet Ricky Vaughn, and Lou Brown is kind of giving running commentary as they all come in.
He's introducing them.
Look at this fucking guy. It's perfect. You know, the montage where they're playing in spring training and Willie Mays Hayes steals second base and he doesn't make it and he flips the guy off. Opening day when.
So you're just going to go through the entire movie then? Every scene is your favorite? Okay.
Opening day, Bob Uecker, the game against the Yankees where Clu Haywood hits the bomb and Ricky Vaughn, that just a bit outside. That's funny. Then I'm going to skip forward a little bit. Like, it's all good. But I think the final game. Now, I always have hated the fact that it ends by them winning a divisional playoff game. We don't see them win a World Series.
Not even a divisional playoff. A game to get to the LCS. Right?
Oh, a divisional
playoff game.
Divisional playoff game. A playoff game for the division.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
We now call divisional playoff something different. Back then, it was a divisional playoff game.
Okay.
That's what they called the goddamn thing. When they would tie, they would call it a divisional playoff game.
I don't know. Is that what they call it? The 78 Yankees-Red Sox tie? They call it a divisional playoff game?
I'm going to Google Bucky Dent, and I'm going to show you
okay.
right now. Bucky Dent. You're such a stupid cunt, man.
Mm.
Bucky Dent, 1978 home run.
I think they call it like a tiebreaker game.
All right. Bucky Dent's home run in AL East playoff game.
Okay. It's not
when did Bucky Dent hit his famous home run? In the divisional playoff game. That says tiebreaker game.
Thank you. You stupid cunt.
You're a stupid
Who's
cunt.
Who's stupid now? You, always. Why do you ever go against me with this stuff? Like, you're so dumb. Eventually, just assume I'm right.
The last game is phenomenal. The last game of the year against the
Yankees. Not going to apologize?
No. Okay. 100%. Not. Why the fuck would I apologize?
Because you were wrong. You called me a name.
No, I was right. That was one Google that said you and one Google that said me. The last
stupid
game of the year,
fuck.
They got when they beat the Yankees, it's fantastic, the drama they build. Do you like the very last play where Wesley Snipes is on second base, Jake Taylor calls his shot,
yeah,
lays down a bunt, and the guy scores from second? You okay with that?
It's fun.
It's unique.
It is.
Like it's. I remember seeing it in the theaters, and there was like point, and I was like, what's he going to do? He's going to hit him. And then he does that, and then Willie Mays Hayes scores.
Busting down the line.
And it's kind of done very well. I don't know how many times they had to do it. But Clue Haywood, who's playing first base, gives a realistic pause and look towards the ump. Just a second. You sure? And then he throws the ball home. Like, it looks like if you're going to lay out or choreograph how he would score from second,
yeah.
They did it right.
Right.
What does this movie get wrong? Not much.
Yeah, not much. I don't watch this movie. I watch this movie and I feel like I'm kind of like hanging out.
I feel like it could be a little longer.
With my friends. Oh, no, I don't. I think it's time.
I feel
just
like
right.
It could be a little longer.
Yeah, I would even want more. Especially the comedy.
Yeah?
Comedy goes 10 minutes too long. It feels like an eternity.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you hate comedy movies?
Why don't I?
Why do you?
I don't think I do. I just don't.
You keep saying it's good for a comedy.
I don't value them.
Comedies are great.
They are. I agree. I just,
so you inherently think a comedy can't be the best movie ever?
That's not true. Like, Office Space is fantastic. I have that ranked very high on my list. But I have The Godfather ranked higher. Office Space is probably my favorite comedy ever. But I have The Godfather higher. I like dramas better than comedies when you're talking about the best.
I like comedies better.
I know. I can tell by your list. I understand.
You've got Office Space as the number one comedy ever?
That's my favorite comedy ever, yeah.
I think Airplane's my favorite comedy ever.
See, that's more you making fun of me being by the book. That's more by the book. That's more chalk.
That's a funny fucking movie.
It's very innovative.
Yeah,
it changed the landscape of comedies.
Yeah, it birthed an entire
whole genre.
Genre.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not arguing with you.
Well, yeah, you were arguing.
I'm not.
You were.
You always come in looking for a fight.
What's he arguing with me?
No.
I mean, that's all you two do.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut the fuck
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Shut the fuck up. What the fuck's
hey,
he doing?
Here's a segment. If you had to start a franchise. With any player, it could be a coach, owner, it could be the wife.
On this team?
Yes.
So like an expansion team and
yeah,
I pick someone?
Say, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think you pick Ricky Vaughn. I think he's like 22.
Yeah. He was a starter for most of the season.
He's a fireballer.
Yeah.
They got his issues fixed out.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, if you look at the team, Jake Taylor, he's on his last
chance.
Oh,
no, you wouldn't. No.
Roger Dorn's
too expensive.
Roger Dorn's at least halfway through his career.
Yeah.
Eddie Harris is through his career.
William
well,
Hayes.
Now Serrano. I don't know how Serrano.
If you do an expansion, you want young guys though.
How we don't know how old Serrano was.
I don't. I mean, it's everyone was treating
Willie Mays Hayes and Sheen like they're
yeah,
rookies. Yeah,
really, much younger. Yeah.
So I think it's either
It depends what you want. I would have taken the pitcher. I would have taken
the only. You know, the only player whose numbers we hear in the on this team are is Dorn. At the end. He 280. He batted. 271 with 86 RBIs.
Which is very similar to Brooke Jacoby, who played third base for the Indians.
Like, that's we hear that number in the last game. All we hear about Vaughn is that he led the league in strikeouts. We hear that.
He led the league in strikeouts as a rookie?
Yeah, he led the league in strikeouts.
I don't remember
we hear
oh,
that.
It's got to be him. That's like, if I have a chance to get the...
But Willie Mays Hayes, we don't hear his number, but we see his wall of batting gloves
right.
for stolen
At
bases.
At least 80 up there, right?
Yeah. So he had a lot of stolen bases.
Give me the guy, the pitcher that he's looking to strike out. So it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, good segment.
That's a great question. Nice job.
Way to go. Way to fucking bring something to the table once in your goddamn life.
That was unnecessary.
Two more questions and
okay.
we'll get to the bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you rank this movie?
From 1 to 100?
Yep.
I'm going to give it 87. And that, I might be a little old. There might be a comedy bias on my end.
You've got Field of Dreams as your number one baseball movie ever. Yeah. Why do you like Field? This is fine.
And I have Moneyball ahead of this too.
It is whatever it is. But why do you have Field of Dreams and Moneyball ahead of this?
They make me I feel more Moneyball. Field of Dreams is just an emotional ride. I care about that movie. I love that movie. Moneyball is probably a better comp. Maybe I just enjoy Moneyball. I think it's that to me is a more enjoyable watch than this. This feels like I'm hanging out with my buddies. Moneyball is feeling like I just have finished a great story.
So, I don't like the way you said story. This is the movie I've watched the most in my life.
Wow, okay.
I would say...
More than like Back to the Future or something?
This is the movie I have watched the most in my life.
Okay.
I watched it twice in the theaters. I watched it countless times as a kid with a VHS tape when it came out. It had the DVD. And now I watch it probably once or twice a year.
I imagine when you were a kid going to like the video rental store in your town, it was all like Hee Haw reruns, and then like Major League maybe was there, and then like one other random movie, and that's all you could pick from. And that's why you kept watching this over and over again, because you're like a real hillbilly rental store.
First of all, Hee Haw was a TV show.
Yeah, I know.
Not a movie.
No, I know, but you could have like episodes, like they have TV shows that have like multiple episodes on a VHS tape.
Where'd you grow up?
New York and New Hampshire.
Where did you grow up?
Both. I lived in New York till I was 9, and I moved to New Hampshire, so I guess both.
What city in New Hampshire?
I lived outside of Rochester and Concord.
You lived in rural New Hampshire.
Yeah, I did.
And you're judging me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just making fun of you, so just giving you a hard time.
This is the movie I've seen the most in my life.
No, that's fair. It was on a ton. It came out like a really important time
in our
age.
I watch it twice a year right now. Every opening baseball. First of all, when baseball season opens, I'll watch Field of Dreams, this, Bull Durham, all of them.
Oh, do you? I watch Field of Dreams every year.
Yeah, I just watched Moneyball recently.
For the show.
So, yeah, that's right. But I was going to watch it this time of year anyway.
All right.
What the hell? I watched 8 Men Out. We haven't done that for the show.
No, that'd be a fun one. That's a good movie.
We're going to do it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Eventually. Soon. I mean, with sports movie podcast, we're going to have to talk about it eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
I give this movie a 99.
Whoa!
This is my favorite movie ever made.
All right, that's fine.
I don't know how to tell you that. It's my favorite movie ever made.
I'm not going to, like, you know, you love Field of Dreams just like I do.
Yeah.
So you're not going to push back too much when I say that. And I'm not going to push back too much on you for that.
When I rank baseball movies, I got this one, Bull Durham 2, okay. Field of Dreams 3.
I'm not as high on Bull Durham as other people
are.
I
don't understand that.
I need to watch it again, maybe. Yeah. And when we cover it for the show, I certainly will. Maybe I just need to see it with clearer eyes.
And full hearts.
Can't lose. But this is a very good comedy. It holds up remarkably well.
This movie
is so smart and fun.
This movie could have come out 89, 99, 09. Like, this movie is timeless.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Because baseball is timeless.
Baseball, right. Yeah. And that's a credit to baseball there. And I don't know. I like the hell out of this movie. And every time I watch it, I enjoy it almost like a little bit more. I get, because you just every time you watch it, you start to know those characters more and more. You're seeing little things. And they're just fun guys to hang out with.
How many movies could you start watching, you see the first line, and then you can fill in every line from then on out?
Yeah, I was like, Back to the Future for me is like a lock for that. Like, yeah. That's the movie I've seen the most in my life.
You could start this where she walks in, welcome the gentleman to another season of Indians baseball, and they clap, and then I'm gone. I can tell you every line from every part. I love it. I love it. I love it. It spawned two sequels, one that we're about to talk about right now.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Oh, shit.
So...
I gotta go pee.
Yeah, I take a shit.
No, I gotta pee.
All right.
Do you need to pee?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Don't stay in the bowl.
Yeah, he has to go pee at 4:20 on 4:20.
Oh!
Yeah, you don't know what I mean.
Look, I can't even hardly stand up straight.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
As good as this movie is,
yep.
Again, came out in 1989, sequel came out in 1994... Not as good, but at least watchable. 1998, they went back to the well. They made Major League Back to the Minors. In this show, we talk about the good movies and the bad movies. And motherfucker, this is a bad one.
So I have a question for you. This movie's terrible. Did you see this in the theaters? Or were you excited? Because you love this so much. You must have been like,
I did. I saw it in the theater.
I'll go back to the minors.
I think it was in the theater for 2 weeks. It came out in April of 98. I went and watched it, and it was fucking horrendous. I had an experience in the theater, and nobody's ever believed me, and I don't know how to explain what happened in this movie theater. But at some point, the projector got off track, and I swear I saw microphones in the shot of the movie that I saw. I don't know if they formatted movies back then to where they were just off. I don't know. I didn't dream it. This happened. But this movie is one of the more disappointing movies I've ever seen, because it is in the Major League universe. Like that it says Major League right there.
Yeah.
The baseball. That's the Major League universe. That means talented people were involved at some point of this project.
Well, talent is John Warren wrote and directed
this. It has a history.
The franchise has talented people at one time attached. John Warren directed this. David S. Ward directed this one in the sequel. John Warren, most famous for a Pauly Shore movie I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
And he has not directed since.
I would assume so.
This was a career killer.
So this movie has a lot going against it. Number one, if you have had a successful franchise and you decide to reboot it or do a movie and you star Scott Bakula, you've already thrown in the towel. Scott Bakula is a sign that this movie didn't go quite right.
I don't like this Bakula slander. Quantum Leap was a great
show. That's a TV show.
I know.
That's a TV show. This is a movie.
Not a movie star.
This is a movie.
Not a TV star.
He ruined Necessary Roughness, which could have been a decent football movie. He was bad in that, and he's bad in this. Scott Bakula is the main character here. He plays Gus Cantrell, a down-on-his-luck pitcher who ends up becoming a manager. Roger Dorn is now the GM of the Twins. How that happened, we never find out. The only characters from the Major League universe that are in this, Harry Doyle shows up in it, and everything about Harry Doyle is gone. He's not funny anymore.
They literally, you can see them in the beginning, the credits, if you look closely. They cut his balls off for the movie, and he, because it's all PG, I don't know what happened, because this was all ad-libbed. This felt like scripted lines.
It was canned. It was terrible.
So he cheesy, doesn't say all the jokes.
He doesn't say a funny joke in the movie.
No.
So Pedro Serrano is in it.
Yep.
After he's now a Buddhist, I believe, or something. And then two characters that were in Major League Two.
Yeah.
Rube Baker, the catcher, and then Tanaka, the outfielder.
Right. From Japan.
They were in, and I guess, is that it? I think that's it. This from the original movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very loose thread to say it's even in the universe. And when they bring back guys like Tanaka or
Serrano.
Serrano, like, they're treated like the biggest movie stars ever. Like, when they come in, it's like they get a huge introduction.
Yeah.
In fact, the Tanaka one's especially bizarre because he's running a mini golf?
Well, go back up.
Yeah.
They're just riding the bus down the road.
They're just riding down the road.
Gus Cantrell's in the front seat. Sees a sign.
Yes.
For a mini golf, says, "Hey, Pedro, come here. Is that who I think it is?" That sign didn't indicate it was anybody. And then Tanaka is running a putt-putt.
Yes. And then, in a matter of, 2 hours?
Yeah.
They convince him not only to leave his business, but to jump on the bus and go play minor league baseball with the team. It is insane. It doesn't make any sense.
This is supposed to be a AAA team?
I guess.
This park is not AAA.
No.
There's nothing AAA about the buzz, so it's all bullshit.
And you have a ballerina on the team that has no professional experience.
Let me point out some more flaws with this movie. First of all,
how long we got?
If you've never seen it, I just took my shoes off.
Yeah, it smells horrible.
It does not. If you've never seen it, I'm going to lay out Major League Back to the Minors. Gus Cantrell is a down on his luck pitcher. He's like 38, and he's done. He's done. He knows Roger Dorn. I guess they're baseball lifers. They know each other. Roger Dorn comes, says, "Hey, Gus Cantrell, you're a good mind. Come manage in the Twins organization for me." Now, it's not explained, but Gus Cantrell's playing in a season, and Roger Dorn comes during the season, says, "Hey, come manage this team."
I guess it's not like that. Sometimes
he takes over in like August.
Well, that's the only thing. Like, we don't know. Right. So when is this all happening? When is it starting? You have heard of guys who do quit.
Yeah,
and retire to become a manager or coach. That happens.
But he gets to this team in the middle of the season, yes. Right? And here's the thing that 90s sports movies did that annoy me. Mighty Ducks 2 did it. Probably the worst offender ever. But he gets to this AAA baseball team, and there's not a baseball player in the bunch, hardly. His third baseman is called Lance the Dance, and he made it to the baseball team because he had a tryout because he was such an athlete from being a ballerina.
Right.
You have the pitcher, the ace, Hog Ellis, who is a trippy surfer dude.
Oh, well, I don't know. His whole character changes halfway through the movie.
20 minutes in the movie, he's a trippy surfer dude who's like, what's up, brah?
But he can't really, he doesn't really make sense when he talks. He's like.
But then they drop that and he's just a normal dude for the rest of the movie. You have two Latino infielders. Mm-hmm. Juan Lopez and two Juan Lopez's.
Yep.
They're brothers and they fight. They legitimately will go after the same ground ball and punch each other. And then you have a pitcher who throws in the 50s.
Yes.
Called the Professor. The white guy.
Yeah.
Then you have Pops, who's a 40-year-old first baseman. Like, there's not an actual baseball. Mighty Ducks had this thing. Mighty Ducks, too. The U.S. national team had a cowboy, an ice skater.
That was awesome.
Woo, 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 Kenny Woo. It had some girls were on the boys' team. Yeah. It had a kid from Harlem who just played street hockey. Like, there were not actually hockey players on the team.
I'd argue it worked there, though. That's a kid's movie.
I don't know that it did in that one, and it didn't work in this
kid,
one.
I was a kid, so I might be jaded.
There's literally
the movies suck.
There's literally a scene in this movie
where
Lance the Dance is rounding third and going home. The throw beats him by a mile. But he does
a pirouette.
He does a pirouette around the tag and scores. And then does the curtsy, does the bows, and they throw flowers at him. That happens in this movie.
You mentioned how every player in Major League has a flaw.
Yeah.
Every player in this movie has many flaws and lucky to have a strength.
There's nothing good about any of these players. No. Now.
Well, there's one player who's good.
But if I have to ask you, yes, downtown. If I had to ask you the number one thing wrong with this movie, I think you're going to answer what I would answer. Maybe you're not. But what's the number one thing that you notice about this movie?
Just the lazy filmmaking. The direction, the script is just atrocious.
No.
The characters make no sense. People drop things. It doesn't make any sense.
To me, it's the CGI.
Oh, the CGI is horrible.
It's the worst CGI in the history.
That goes back to direction, though, I think.
And the history of movies.
Oh, it's wildly horrible.
It's
totally necessary.
I don't know why they decided, because there was no CGI in Major League. There's no CGI in Major League 2.
Every ball they hit in this movie is like a line drive.
That curves upwards.
Or something like people hit home runs and maybe it's what, eight feet off the ground?
The curveballs go from like 12 to -6 and they do it slowly and the ball is that big. The ball on CGI is like that big.
He's right. Everything kind of slices, right? Everything hits like this line. It's a rope.
And there's one scene where they're playing the Twins in the Metrodome. That's the theme of the movie. The Twins are bad. The manager hates Gus Cantrell.
Ted McGinley.
We'll get to Ted McGinley in a minute, I promise you. But they do all of that. They're playing the Twins in the Metrodome, and there's a scene where Tanaka throws a ball to third base, and it's the worst green screen I've ever seen. You tweeted this.
It was like he has a halo around him.
Yes.
He's like glowing. And the funny thing is you don't even need that shot. Basically, Tanaka throws a ball from the outfield to the infield.
Yeah.
You could have just had that cut out. I mean, the audience is going to know the ball is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
It was so unnecessary and so bizarre.
The CGI is so wretched. Like, the budget on this movie had to be, what, $20 million?
I think it was 24.
24, and it made what, 12?
I think, that's exactly.
But I don't know at what point they said, because you have a baseball field, just throw the baseball until you get it right. Hit the baseball until you get it right.
Now, I know, there's a 10-year gap between these two movies, right?
Nine.
Okay, yeah. But, like, Major League One cost $11 million to make, okay?
That's unbelievable.
This cost $18.
Yeah.
And doesn't have nearly the star power.
Well, you didn't have to rent a Major League Stadium here. You didn't have to do – well, I guess you had the Metrodome for one day maybe.
But like, how much were they paying like Corbin Burnson? Like, who were they paying? Like, where did the money go?
Like, Dennis Haysbert wasn't a big name yet.
No.
All
the guys they brought back.
Scott, I can't imagine. I'm sure Scott Bakula was the most expensive guy in this film, but I can't imagine. He cost a lot of money.
No.
Now, the manager for the Twins is the bad guy.
Yes.
I don't even remember his name. He's the manager for the Twins.
I'll tell you his name.
Gus something. No, Gus Cantrell.
No, it's Leonard Huff.
Leonard Huff.
Which, honestly, you could have given me 1,000 guesses. I saw this movie, 2 weeks ago?
you're right.
I would never be able to remember that.
Leonard Huff. Ted McGinley plays Leonard Huff. And here is the conundrum of Ted McGinley. I don't think in my life there's been a guy that looks more like a good actor, looks more like a movie star, looks like somebody who would enhance a project that sinks more. If Ted McGinley shows up in your movie or your TV show, you're near death.
Yeah, Ted McGinley?
Ted McGinley.
McGinley.
Yeah.
He's a Ken doll.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I can think of a few good things he's in. He has a recurring role in The West Wing. He's Mark Godfrey, the host of Capital Beat. He's in Sports Night for a couple of...
Which is a fantastic show.
Yeah. Why did you laugh? Well, you kind of smirked when I said, did you not know I would know The West Wing when I said Mark Godfrey, Capital Beat? You didn't know that?
No. No, I wasn't smirking at you. I think I was just laughing at McGinley's career.
Ted McGinley's
like in Happy Days.
He's in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And he's Jefferson Darcy on Married with Children. Yeah. And he's fine on Married with Children.
He is.
But he is almost a farce here. He's almost a parody of an
actor.
He's
a cartoon character.
He's a cartoon character. He is. His jokes are grade school. His antics are. He's like doing this shit. He's in the dugout talking to the manager in the other dugout, literally doing this shit to him. Like, who wrote this shit? Everything about this.
John Warren.
I said, whoever wrote this was in a clubhouse. Whoever wrote that was guessing.
Yo, yeah.
Yeah. They watched a cartoon of baseball.
And so much of the baseball they get wrong here. Like you said, we don't know if it's AAA. Things are happening in the middle of the season. The Twins keep playing the AAA team. They play twice. One time in the middle of the season. That would never happen.
They play them in the Metrodome.
In the Metrodome in the middle of the year.
And then they play them at their place.
Yes.
This team, it's got Downtown Anderson, who's played by Walton Goggins.
Who's fantastic in Vice Principals. Great HBO.
And not bad here. I don't think
he's not. He's
to me.
Oh, he's by far the most talented person. Not by far. We have one person left to talk about.
We do. If you're ranking guys who didn't phone this movie in or guys who look like they could go from this roster to an actual sports movie, Walton Goggins is fine.
I don't think McGinley's mailing it in. He's trying his hardest.
And Bakula's probably fine too. But
Bakula's just boring.
And it's just a poorly written character.
He's boring in this. I'll defend Bakula, but he's not good in like Corbin Bernson. You can kind of see the dollar signs in his eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's completely checked out, but it felt that way with this.
Yeah. Now, there's one rose among the thorns here.
Oh, there certainly is.
This is a wretched movie. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
No.
It's one of the worst movies.
It's bad.
It's a wretched movie.
It's not, Eddie's worse.
There's an actress in this movie that I don't remember. That I don't know if I've ever seen her in anything else. She plays Gus Cantrell's girlfriend, I guess. Fiance,
yes.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's kind of his conscience, where she tells him she's along for the ride, mm-hmm. and she's saying, hey, you should do this. You should coach baseball, yada, yada, yada. Do you know the name of the actress?
Jensen Daggett.
Did you have to look that up?
I had to look it up. I never heard of her.
I have never heard of this woman.
She is beautiful.
So I'm watching this movie. I'm watching this movie back a couple of weeks ago. She is stunning. She this is not like a made up Hollywood actress.
No,
this is just a classically beautiful woman. You cannot take your eyes off. Jensen Daggett. I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know why your career. You didn't turn out. You are a delight.
Jensen Daggett. I was so watching the movie. I had to stop it immediately and be like, who is that?
Who is that?
And like, have I heard of her? Have I seen her before? Because I was just instantly.
Right. Because, and she can also act. Like, she's acting.
She's very good.
Like, Bakula's doing his shit.
Very charming.
McGinley's doing his shit. And she's over there acting and looking pretty. And it just, while I was watching this movie, I was like, I wanted to go rescue her. I wanted to put her in a better movie. I wanted to give her a better career.
And she's not like, you know, she's not like, you're right, not like a Hollywood glammed up.
She doesn't look like a whore.
No.
No, she doesn't. She's not a tramp.
No.
Are you looking her up right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jensen Daggett. I mean, just a pretty.
Huh?
Just a very pretty woman.
She's in the Arrested Development bit. Her?
She's a classically. She's just a beautiful woman. And she's stunning to look at in this movie.
So she was in a few things I found
out. She
was
like in a Friday the 13th, right?
She was in a Friday the 13th. She was also in a few episodes of The Single Guy.
Freddy Takes Manhattan.
So does
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
But would stop her career to have kids or something?
I don't know, but what she's most famous for is she plays Tim Allen's sister-in-law in Home Improvement. So she had a few episodes there, and that's where I saw.
So she was Jill's sister in Home Improvement?
I don't know. Is it Jill's sister or Tim's brother's wife?
Oh, I don't know.
One of the two. But she was in a few episodes, so I kind of recognized her there, I guess. But honestly, I never guessed Jensen Daggett is her name.
She's a delight.
Oh, my goodness.
Just a beautiful, again, a rose among the thorns. This is a shitty movie with shitty acting, and she's perfect.
It made me really think, like, what does it take to become a Julia Roberts or a big-time star? Because, like, Jensen Daggett had everything going for her. She's a good actress. She's beautiful. She had a really pleasant demeanor. You could see her in a lot of different roles.
Yeah.
But yet, Like, we went through almost her whole filmography already. Like, she hasn't done anything. And like, you wonder, is it a bad agent? Like, what happens here?
What do you want to say about Jensen Dyer?
I mean, compared to Julia Roberts, because she's got curly hair. Julia Roberts.
First of all.
No, she's better looking than Julia Roberts.
Stop it.
Julia, I'm not going to take Jensen Daggett.
Women who's ever
I agree with Clemmer.
Back me up.
I agree with Clemmer. Jensen Daggett's a fucking treasure.
Don't you dare. No.
Watch this movie. You didn't have to watch this movie.
I like that this movie's so bad this has turned into which woman is hotter.
You didn't watch this movie. We had to watch
You've never experienced Jensen Daggett.
Existed.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, watch the movie, then get back to it.
They're in the minor leagues. Shit. They're in the minor leagues. He's hanging on for dear life, and he's got Jensen Daggett. I wouldn't want to go to Minnesota either.
Charisma jumping off the screen.
Off the screen.
I think she just gave up on acting.
Well, if you were in this movie, yeah, maybe, I could see where you would think.
That's another reason to hate this fucking movie.
It ruined Jensen Daggett.
Oh!
You know what? Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you.
I like that, yeah. I mean, it's a bad
You see one Google image search picture of... Look at her in this movie. Look up a scene of her in this movie. You gotta watch her.
She's photogenic in the film.
Mean, yeah.
Pops off the screen.
Crooked teeth a little bit, but...
That's just... She's flawed. She's a regular woman. She's not a Hollywood starlet. She's not a creation.
This isn't... There's no filters here. Like, you can't airbrush. Like the filters. There's you can't no airbrush Instagram your way filter. To success. What you see is what you get with Jensen Daggett.
And that's what... She's real.
I need to see her feet before I make a real.
I don't know if we ever see her feet.
We don't. We had that hotel scene with her in Bakula, where she's wearing like a little, I don't say lingerie. It makes it sound too spicy.
Her pajamas?
Yeah.
She's getting ready for bed.
So I'm not a foot guy, so I don't care.
She's supposed to be Bakula's girlfriend?
Yeah.
All right, well, she's out of his league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's distracting. All kidding aside, because he's kind of a loser in this, and Bakula's a good looking guy. I'm not shitting on Bakula, but his character's, and she's working. As like a waitress?
A waitress slash like, bouncer slash bar owner?
Yeah, like we don't... her whole character makes no sense. The whole movie makes no sense. I mean, this is just a terrible movie. You were waiting... And then, okay, so the movie starts off with 15 minutes, and a lot of them are Daggett is in the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Great. But then she vanishes for a good portion of the movie, and you're like, oh, now I'm just stuck with these Bakula.
Stuck with these motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, bring back Daggett.
Me and Walton Goggins just out here slumming in this movie. I know.
Goggins is good here.
That's what I'm saying. We're out here slumming in this movie.
I know.
Who is the least valuable player of this movie?
Oh.
You think it's McGinley?
Oh, it's got it. Well, McGinley sabotaged the movie at times. And I don't think it's his fault. He seems like a nice guy. I blame the director here.
Yeah.
What notes was the director giving him?
Yeah. At some point, your job is to portray a baseball manager. And at no point in the history of the game has one acted like that. At no point has one done the things that this guy does. At no point, and he's also treated, he's an idiot, right? Yeah. And everybody knows he's, Roger Dorn's the GM, and he knows he's an idiot. Yes. And he goes and gets Gus Cantrell to beat this guy. Like, why don't you just fire him?
Fire him.
Why don't you just fire him and get somebody else?
Or have, if you like Gus Cantrell, just have Cantrell
just
do it.
Just go let Gus Cantrell
And by the way, the end of this movie, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So
this is my favorite thing that happens in sports movies.
This pisses me off. So at the end of the movie,
because it happened in a league of their own too. What I think you're about to say.
Yeah, and then they give, they offer Roger Dorn offers Cantrell that he can manage the Twins if he wants.
Yeah,
which is a huge. I mean, that's like what a 10x pay grade.
There's
pay raise.
30 major league managerial spots.
You get like crazy. You're part of the union, so you get crazy benefits.
You're made for
pension.
Life.
It's a big deal. Like to be. Ask anyone in baseball, would you rather be a third base coach on a major league team or the manager of a triple A team? They're all going to say, big club.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Nope. Not Gus Cantrell.
He said, I got a job.
Yeah, I'm good.
And that's what happened in the end of a league of their own when Jimmy Dugan got the girls league and they lost the World Series. But he was like, Mr. Harvey offered me a triple A job. I didn't take it. I already have a job.
All right. Yeah.
That's not how this works.
No.
That's not how any of this works. I promise you, somebody walks in, if Fox or ESPN walks in right now and says, get me off this podcast, I'm not going to say, I have a job. I'm here with Clemmer. I wouldn't do that at all. I'd leave your ass in a second.
You leave me?
Right. The subreddit told me you quit Barstool.
I tried to quit.
Yeah. How'd that go? You're still here talking to me.
Yeah.
Did you think about me when those moments when you quit?
I let me tell you something. There's about an hour stretch every week where I think about you, and it's when I'm sitting here talking to you. That's it.
No, that's not true.
That's absolutely
that's
true.
That's not true. No, would you think about how sad it would be for this show if you left?
I've never thought about you. Well, you first of all, if I left, this show wouldn't exist. I am the show.
Well, no. I mean, if you leave, I feel have somebody else come in.
Oh, yeah. With Castellani? Carl?
I don't know. I don't know who.
Marty Mush?
I have to have somebody. I don't know.
Gooch? Gooch doesn't want to be here now. You think he'd want to be here then?
I hope you did. That's why maybe why you changed your mind. You did think of me and decided I want to come back to this.
That's
I hope so.
I texted Dave. I said, listen, Dave, I was wrong. I can't quit Clemmer. I can't do it. I took a pay cut.
Yeah.
I no longer get vacation days, but I get to be with you.
Oh, there you go. That's all I was asking for.
So
he's a valuable player. Oh, McGinley.
Yeah. Yep. It probably is. I think it could just be the.
I mean, John Warren's really.
It could also be the casting here because, like, the pitcher, the ace pitcher, that guy's, first of all, he's ugly. Like nothing about him says baseball player.
I just want to know why his whole character changed.
The only minor leaguer there that I believe is probably the aging first baseman, Pops. And that guy's,
he looked too old.
I don't know who that actor is, but he's in every 90s movie. I saw the beginning of Independence Day last night.
And he was in that?
And he showed up for just, like, one line. I don't know who that guy is, but he's in a whole lot of movies.
My whole thing is I just don't know. I can't imagine a guy that old being in a minor league team.
No, he was old. And in fact, one time he stretches. He's playing first base, and he stretches to catch a ball in double play, and his back locks up, and they have to carry him off the field. And he's literally like this.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
No, that's not a joke.
I'm saying honest truth right now.
His name is Tom Barry. Tom with an H. So Tom Barry.
I'm guessing Tom Barry has been in 500 movies. He has shown up in a lot.
Eric Roberts.
He hasn't been as many as you think. He's just been a lot you've seen. And you're absolutely right. At Independence Day, he's probably most famous for playing a character on the show Cold Case.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen.
But he's been in a lot of movies you've seen. He's was an orderly in Apollo 13. He's in Congo. He's in Space Jam.
He's Michael Jordan's dad in Space Jam.
He's in Air Force One. He's in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So he's been in the movies.
He's a fucking one of Paul Walker's bosses in Fast and Furious. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So he's been in a lot of movies you've seen. He just hasn't been.
So
in
he's
movies.
A black guy. Everyman face. If we showed you this guy, which I guess we probably should.
What's his name?
Tom Barry with an H.
Tom Barry.
Yeah. Bro. Short for Thomas.
Tom Barry.
My first name.
Tom Brennan.
Like Tom Brenneman, yeah, but
except Barry is his last name, not Brenneman,
and he's not,
and he has no evidence of being gay.
Okay, yeah, I recognize this guy.
Yeah. That guy's in everything.
Yeah.
If you had to make a trade from this movie to Major League, and I have a feeling I know what you're going to do.
Yeah,
I assume you're going to rescue our girl.
I mean, this could become a Jensen Daggett podcast, and I wouldn't be entirely upset. So, of course, I'm going to take Jensen Daggett from this movie and replace her, switch her with the Roger Dorn's wife.
Cynthia Dorn? Suzanne Dorn.
I don't know if I love that.
Well, that makes sense. She would
a ton.
Jensen Daggett would have to play kind of a bitch in Major League.
I don't know. I think she could add some charm to that role. Because at first when we meet Mrs. Dorn, she's a nice lady.
Yeah, I guess that's right. She's bringing coffee for the boys.
Yeah. I also believe
you wouldn't just go ahead and put her in the big leagues and put her as switch her over to Rene Russo.
Rene Russo's in this.
Yeah,
you know Rene Russo and Scott Bakula would kind of works makes a better couple than this.
And
is that the trade you're doing?
Rene Russo's kind of on like an equal of Bakula. Like Jensen Daggett is just somebody I've never seen, but Rene Russo at least is another name for this movie. I think that's what you do.
It's crazy how many great movies, big movies that Rene Russo was in. Like, you just think about, like, you know, and think about, like, Jensen Daggett, who never really got that chance. It is, like, wild to think about.
They don't look all that dissimilar.
Oh, I think they do. Daggett has more of that girl next door. Like, I think Rene Russo used to be a model. I think she has.
Rene Russo in Major League is I don't think, I mean, she's accessible.
I don't know. I feel like Jensen Daggett is more like the girl you would, you know.
It has to be Jensen Daggett for Rene Russo to me.
Because there's nobody
else worth a shit in that fucking movie.
I don't want, like, any trade I make, I want to help Major League even more, and I don't want to help this movie at all.
Like, do you bring Downtown Anderson? What would he do? Like, you've already got Ricky Vaughn, you've already got Willie Mays Hayes. Do you bring along Downtown Anderson?
But honestly, I don't want to change anyone in this clubhouse.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I don't want to fuck with this at all. That chemistry works so well. Now, they're lesser actors than Walton Goggins. Like, Corbin Burnson is not as good of an actor as Walton Goggins, but he's perfect here.
Yeah, yeah. What do you give this movie 1 to 100?
So this, to me, is better than Eddie. It's better than Ed. It's better than The Babe.
So this is watchable to you?
No. Not really.
It's on the higher end of unwatchable.
It was like what did I give the Babe? Like
noise
a 20.
Was that?
I said, eh.
I think you gave it a 30.
Let me see. What do you give it? I'm going to see what I gave it.
I do think there's an interesting way to do this movie.
Okay, like great question. Could this movie have been done better? Yes.
Absolutely. Great,
like the idea of like AAA baseball, a bunch of minor league lifers having to sit there and watch like kids jump from AA, do a week or two in AAA, and then go to the majors. Like that would be an interesting.
Well, part. I mean, that's what you just described, Bull Durham. That's all what right, Bull Durham is.
It's true.
Bull Durham is just a baseball lifer having to watch a young kid come take his spot, right? But that's also made by quality directors with quality actors. But if you listen,
even the poster,
I give Eddie a 23. I'm going to give this a 25.
All right, I'll give it a 28.
Oh, so you're higher than I am on this.
Okay, I'll give it a 24. I don't give a.
You gave Eddie a 24, by the way.
I would rather watch this than Eddie again.
Oh, so then.
So I'll give it a 25 as well.
So we'll give him 25.
25. All right, that's fine. We'll be together on this one.
That's fine.
Baseball kind of looks like you.
Baseball looks like me? Or looks like Brandon?
Yeah, you have blonde hair. No, the one with blonde hair.
I don't have blonde hair.
Yes.
He knows that. That's why he's saying it.
That looks like me.
No, it doesn't.
Imagine if it did.
Ultimately, my favorite sports movie.
Yeah.
Maybe one of my least favorites.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hated.
Well, Ed is obviously a
and you
special.
Hated Eddie Moore too.
Ed. Those are both special degrees of bad. This. I would watch this before I'd watch either of those. I don't want to watch this, but if you brought four DVDs in, Ed, The Babe, Major League Back to the Minors, and Eddie, I would say fuck, just put on Major League Back to the Minors.
Oh, I see. I'd probably say put on Ed, but like Ed's a worse.
Put
movie.
On Ed.
Well, Ed's just so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Terrible movie.
Yeah, awful movie. Nothing to. I mean, there's no. There's really very few positives. I said Walton Goggins is the beginning of his career. And Jensen Daggett, I guess, is the only reasons to watch this movie.
It's
horribly directed, horribly done.
I got a real. I'm gonna throw a wrinkle here. I'm gonna do something that'll be clippable for our boy here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna drop my top five movie pitchers all time right now.
Okay.
Top five movie pitchers. Could be in any movie. Fictional.
I was going to say real.
Fictional. Or, okay. So we're not counting.
So Eddie Seacott from 8 Men Out?
No, and no Zito or Mulder from, they're in Moneyball very much.
In it, yeah.
Top five movie pitchers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Number five. What just happened to the fucking TV screen? You got one job, man. You got one job.
I can't control the TV.
It's the Aurora Borealis.
What do you mean you can't control the TV? You're holding the remote control.
That's
what it's called.
Remote control. You control the TV.
That's a joke I made.
Yeah. I was backing you up.
Okay. I like how we're enemies until he gets involved.
Yeah, all right. Set it back up. Do your top five pitchers. Give me you guys setup, too.
It was a good setup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to drop right now my top five movie pitchers.
Okay.
All movies, fictional. These are the top five pitchers who have ever appeared as a character in a movie.
Okay.
A baseball movie. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Steve Nebraska, who was Brendan Fraser's character in The Scout. Awful movie. Terrible. But he throws like 180. He has a 27 out, 81 pitch perfect game. 27 strikeouts. That's pretty fucking
pretty
good.
And
that's his debut for the Yankees. Number four, Henry Rowengartner, Rookie of the Year. I don't love the movie. In fact, I hate the movie.
Oh, no.
But you got to acknowledge the fact that he's 12 years old, his arm goes crazy, and he's throwing a million miles an hour. And what a summer that was for him.
Yo, yeah.
Ends up hurting his arm again and going back, but what a summer.
If that was real life, people would still be talking about it.
I don't think that would be real life, Clinton.
No, I'm saying if it was. I'm saying if that happened, 30 years later, we'd still be saying, remember the summer of Rowan Gardner?
No, that's correct. Yes.
That's all I'm saying. I know it's not real life.
Number
fucking moron. I know that.
No, you're the one who said it.
I said if.
Number
said
three.
If Inception happened in real life, people would still be talking about it.
I always wonder if the Hulk was alive. The Hulk was a real thing. Every morning you'd be like, what did the Hulk do last night? The Hulk would be all you think about.
We would still be talking about Jurassic Park. All right.
Oh,
we
my
would,
God. Imagine.
We would still be talking about that shit.
Like, yeah, that would be crazy.
Just imagine in a real life we're sitting there. Fuck, you remember when Godzilla came out of the ocean? That shit was crazy.
Fucked up. That was a weird year.
number three, Ebby Calvin Nuke LaLouche from Bull Durham, played by Tim Robbins. The only thing holding him back from number two or one is probably Tim Robbins has a wonky motion, and I don't really believe he's pitching. Number two, Billy Chappell.
Oh, yeah.
For Love of the Game.
Number two.
Billy Chappell for Love of the Game. Kevin Costner, Hall of Famer, won 300 games, threw a perfect game in his last game. Incredible. But number one, it's my favorite movie ever, the greatest movie pitcher of all time, Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn, played by Charlie Sheen. I believe him. He looks right. He's got the haircut. He's got the swagger. He was the Wild Thing. In 1989, every 10-year-old baseball player called themselves Wild Thing. A lot of people wore 99. Ricky Vaughn was it.
But he wasn't a better pitcher than Billy Chappell.
That's not what I'm ranking. I'm ranking my favorite top five.
Your favorite.
My favorite top five pitchers ever in movie history. Right. Is that okay? Also, we don't know that he didn't turn out better than Billy Chappell. We can fanfic our way to where he does. He led the league in strikeouts as a rookie.
That's pretty impressive.
And then the next year, he got it back together, and he ended up getting the save in ALCS. So he might have been Billy Chappell. We don't know. But he's my favorite movie pitcher of all time.
Okay. All right.
That's my list.
Okay.
Next week,
Caddyshack.
And?
Caddyshack 2.
Son of a bitch.
One of the greatest comedies ever. And a sequel that I've never seen. I've never seen Caddyshack 2.
Have you watched it?
Well, because of the scheduling of this show.
I'm asking you if you've watched it yet.
I've not completed it.
You started it, though.
Yeah, half hour in. It's rough.
It's something.
But I've never seen it before.
I've watched it one time in 1988. And I will be watching it to get us ready for this. But it is in movie canon, or in movie...
Yeah.
People believe it to possibly be the worst sequel of all time.
Yeah, it's often named, not just the worst.
Godfather 3, Rocky 5.
Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2.
It's right there.
It is one of the worst sequels, regarded as one of the worst sequels ever. We'll find out next week if that's true.
Yes.
It's probably going to be true.
This was awful. I know.
This
is really bad.
Anything else?
Thank you for watching Double Play.
I don't really care if you're
watching. For Brandon Walker. Chris Klemmer. And Brandon Walker, are you going to promote this podcast?
Might not.
How about that? That'd be a first.
Maybe shout out the producer who has put...
How about Gooch? Let's give it up for Gooch. He's the reason
we're doing... This take was a lot better than the first one.
How would you know?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. You just pressed record and left that day. And then when you came back, you dumped it?
No. I don't want to... I won't blame anybody else. You blame yourself. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you want to apologize at all?
Yeah.
To who?
We don't need to do this. No, stop.
Yeah, we do.
Why?
I'm talking to my friend Gooch.
I apologize to the viewers.
He's a wee guy. He's not a me guy. He's gonna what? He's a big boy.
It's a sports podcast. Have you learned a lesson in sports?
He's a big boy.
I know, but he already said he fucked up earlier.
I don't remember that.
No, he told me.
Apologize to me personally right now.
Gross.
I'll write you a letter.
Thanks.
Yeah. It'll be in the mail.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'll quit.
Yeah. Can I rub some fecal matter on it before you send it out? Will you open a letter full of shit?
Is that what you
want
to do?
Yeah. I want you to open a letter full of shit.
This fucking guy. All right. We'll see you next week.
Work hard and hydrate hard with Body Armor Flash IV. Whether you're working in extreme heat or powering through a long shift, Body Armor Flash IV delivers faster, longer-lasting hydration. With more than 2,000 milligrams of electrolytes, vitamins B and C, and zinc, coconut water, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Flash IV keeps you performing at your best. Get Body Armor Flash IV at your local 7-Eleven.
Whoop. Sleep better, train smarter, recover faster, and feel healthier. Understand and optimize your sleep. Get coaching and insights for every age, stage, and cycle. Track over 140 habits. Get a 360 view of your training and workouts. Never miss a second of data with a wireless and waterproof charger. Expect all new features all the time. Whoop. Sleep better, train smarter, recover faster, and feel healthier. Understand and optimize your sleep. Get coaching and insights for every age, stage, and cycle. Track over 140 habits. Get a 360 view of your training and workouts. Never miss a second of data with a wireless and waterproof charger. Expect all new features all the time.